Matthew 21 and verse 28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, Likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? And they say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not, but the publicans and harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. It's interesting that the one group was thought of and thought of themselves as being very good people, and the other group was thought of as not. And he illustrates it with the two sons. And so let's look at these together, and we'll pray before we go on. Lord, we ask that you be with me tonight. Help me to speak what you'd have, and that we would glean from your word tonight. Thank you for the day. Thank you for the opportunities that we have to be focused on the word of God, and also on our ability and our availability, our opportunity in this community and in our state, and to make a difference. Help us to make a difference by obeying you most of all. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So, the father's command, Son, go work today in my vineyard. Now remember, both the publicans and the Pharisees, both the publicans and harlots, or the Pharisees, both sides thought of themselves as being sons of Abraham. They thought of themselves as being sons of Abraham, therefore being God's children and God's chosen people. But remind you that John chapter 3, Jesus said to a Pharisee named Nicodemus, you must be born again. And no matter what your ethnicity or your lineage or your heritage, you must be born again. And I like what someone said, God does not have grandchildren. You have to be a child of God yourself. You must have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ through salvation. You must be born again. So, if these two are calling themselves sons, and this morning in Matthew chapter number 6, verse 9, I mentioned how the model prayer that everyone calls the Lord's Prayer, and they, Our Father, which art in, and probably there's people in this room, you can quote the whole thing, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And that's all well and good to memorize the Bible and to memorize what Jesus said and to even pray that way if you want to. However, it means nothing if he's not your father. Now, both of these groups thought of themselves as being sons. They both thought of themselves as being sons. And yet, when the father gives the command, he gets two different answers. He had two sons, and that represents the two different groups. And his desire is that they'll go and work in his vineyard. Go work in my vineyard. Look with me back in chapter 9 and verse 38. There's work to be done today. It says in Matthew 9, 36 through 38, But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And he does, and he is. The Bible tells us that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Why? Because the heart of God is to preach the gospel, the good news, to every creature. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So how did you preach the gospel this week? How did you, or how will you plan, and how are you planning to preach it next week? You know, in spite of all the things we talk about with politics, let's not forget to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. With all the frustrations and all the issues that we face with what's going on in our state or in our world, the fastest way to fix it is to see people get saved. You don't have to pass laws for people to behave right if the Holy Spirit of God will truly get within inside of them and govern them from within. And so the harvest is great, and he's wanting to send forth laborers into his harvest. I hope that we never become a church where everyone sits and looks good, but nobody's doing anything. There's nothing wrong with sitting and looking good. Mr. Spears got a suit coat and a tie on today. I just noticed that. There's nothing wrong with sitting and looking good. But there's more to Christianity than sitting and looking good. There's more to Christianity than just looking like you're, and more importantly, sounding good. The Father's desire is that the work get done, and the urgency is today. Son, go work today in my vineyard. You know, if you're saved, you don't need to go through some special course of how to tell others. Just tell them how you got saved. Just tell them what happened to you, and let's witness and share the gospel with other people and share it with. The Bible says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So notice the urgency of the Father. Today, I need you to work for me today in my vineyard. And the son that he asked first, he said, go work today in my vineyard. He said in verse 20, he answered and said, I will not. Imagine. If you lived in my house and you said that, you'd be in big trouble. I will not. He goes to the second son, verse 30, and he said likewise, and he answered, I go, sir. Oh, I like that. Boy, that's good. Now, Haley, if you get a command from your dad, yes, sir, that sounds good. Except he didn't actually do anything after he said, yes, sir. Should you say, I will not? No. She knows that's not the right answer. No, I'm not going to do that. No, that's not the right answer. And so you notice their response, disrespectful, rebellious, and selfish. I will not. Second response, respectful, submissive, and interested. I go, sir. Yes, sir. But now notice, whether of them twain did the will of his father? And they said the first, because afterward he repented and obeyed. He afterward realized he was wrong, and he went. See, the father said, I want you to go work. And he said, well, that's not jive with my plans. I had other things I was going to do. I had other stuff. I don't want to go work. I don't want to serve. I will not. But afterward, he repented and went. I was thinking the other day, I don't remember exactly why I was thinking, but I was thinking about my old friend who's now in heaven, Tom Urich. Tom Urich was a rough cob, rough character, but he got saved. It was funny how he got saved. He would come to church, his children would come to church, and then eventually him and his wife, I think, came for Easter or something like that. And I gave an invitation for anyone who would like to pray and ask for salvation and come talk to me afterwards, and we could talk about the salvation, and he could hear the gospel present. I said, just, you know, raise your hand and just, you know, meet me after church, come forward, or, you know, just raise your hand, let me know. And he stared at me. He just stared at me with this look on his face like, I know I should, but I don't want to. And so afterwards I talked to him. I said, Tom, I said, you look like you want to talk. He said, you're not getting me to go in front of all those people. You're not getting me to go. I'm not going to make a fool of my, I'm not going in front of those people. I said, Tom, who cares? They want you to get saved. Well, huh? You know, I'm not raising my hand, and I'm not. And you don't have to get up out of your seat and go forward in order to get saved, but you can't be so proud that you're just going to sit there either. But Tom said, nope, not me. The funny part is about 6 months later, we had a guest preacher here, and I said, hey, I want to go find this guy. I want to talk to him. Why don't you and I together, we're going to talk to him. And we happened to find, he was at one of the motels in town, and he was doing some remodeling. So we stopped, and we started talking to him. And pretty soon, the preacher that I was with, we started witnessing to him, and Tom's standing there, and this conversation's going on for about 15, 20 minutes, and 30 minutes, and Tom prayed and trusted Christ as his Savior. Right there in the motel parking lot with cars going by. I'm just kind of smiling to myself. And when Tom was done praying and we talked for a little bit more, I said, you know, Tom, I said, you're pretty funny. He said, why? I said, you couldn't get up in church and walk forward in front of however little church people there were, but you're standing there in the parking lot with all these people driving by and people looking out the window of their motel room, and you got saved in front of all these people. But I love Tom because, you know what, Tom's the kind, if you said, hey, I need your help, I will not. I mean, that's just, no, I don't have time. And he just, in other words, whatever was in his heart came out of his mouth. And he's just being honest. If you've ever had a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old and you tell him something, no. And it's like, whoa, you know, that's not a good habit. However, they're just being honest. But as you get older, you get more dishonest. And you know, well, I can't say that. That's not the right thing to say. So you pretend like you want to listen, but you really don't want to listen. And what I loved about Tom was it seemed like however he is feeling, that's what I knew. But I could count on him to be honest. And at least he was what he said he was. I've known others where, man, they told me everything I wanted to hear. But it wasn't for real. It wasn't true. It wasn't honest. I go, sir. I'm not going. But you know, repentance is something that takes place in the heart. It says, afterward he repented and went. He changed his mind. His heart, his mind, he changed his mind and he went. And you know, repentance always precedes doing God's will. And the truth is, none of us naturally want to do God's will. And we should be aware, leery of someone who acts like immediately they want to, because that's just not natural that someone wants to do the right thing. But when the Holy Spirit works in their heart, they afterward repented and went. The second son promised and failed. I go, sir. That's the Pharisees. That's the people that Jesus was talking to and was always dealing with. I go, sir, I say all the right things, know all the right rules, have all these 614 rules memorized and 10 commandments. They brag about how they always keep the 10 commandments, blah, blah, blah. I go, sir, yes, sir, I do. But didn't. Let me remind you what it says in a couple places. First of all, go to Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. There's a little girl that comes to church on Wednesdays and Sunday mornings. Some of you know who I'm talking about. She's just a little spitfire. She's just a little thing. I just love her. I love her personality. And she's just one of the, I mean, she'll just tell you what she's thinking, or then she'll just, you know, she doesn't care. Now, I hope she grows out of that and we can help her to be more respectful. However, I'd rather have her be real that way than the other way. And I hope you understand the importance and realize that God would have us to not be nigh with our mouth and not honor just with our lips. One night I was driving. This little girl was sitting in the front seat of the van. It was a Wednesday night and we were driving to the church. And she's such a sassy pants, you know, she's just jabbering away, talking to me, and I'm talking to her and asking her about her sister and asking her about whatever. And she's just jabbering along, and all of a sudden she stops and she said, guess what I'm doing now? And I looked at her and I looked back out the windshield. I said, I don't know. What are you doing? And she said, I'm going to church. Duh. This morning I said hi to her and she just went and just walked off. Now, that's not good. But, you know, I'd rather have her that way than just telling me everything I want to hear and it means nothing inside. Draweth nigh to me with her mouth, honoreth me with her lips, but their heart is far from me. And here's the thing, God knows your heart. And you can say all the nice things, I go, sir, and put a lot of respect on it, but God knows your heart. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, this is what it can ultimately end up if you're not a believer. It says, verse 21 of Matthew 7, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's not those who say, Lord, Lord, or with their mouth say certain things, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, done many, have cast out devils, done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, that work iniquity. It is not the outward religious show that we think is going to impress God. It impresses other people. It impresses people in church, but it doesn't impress God. It's not who saith, but who doeth. It's not who says, but who proves what they are with their action. And now, I want to be careful. because the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us it's not of works. And so you're not saved by doing. But if you're a son, you will repent and go. If you're a son, you will admit that you're wrong and do right and obey. If you say you're a son and you talk right and you give lip service, but then you don't obey, that proves something else. And Jesus said, verily, truly, I say unto you that the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. And that probably was a shock to their system. I'm a Pharisee. In our community, I'm one of the most respected people in our community. I'm telling you right now, the publicans and harlots are going to the kingdom of heaven before you, the ones that are truly saved. It doesn't matter what their background was. It doesn't matter that she had seven devils cast out of her. It doesn't matter that he used to be a rotten tax collector and cheated people. What matters is that he repented and obeyed. He repented and trusted me and did the right thing. Whereas you say, I go, sir. And you know how to talk the talk and look good on the outside, but nothing on the inside. The Bible tells us that we are not saved by works. However, faith and repentance will produce works. Go back to James chapter 2. We are not saved by works. But James chapter 2 tells us that there is an evidence of our salvation and in our faith. James chapter 2 and verse 14, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or a sister be naked, destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, ye be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works, and show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee thy faith by my works. If thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that with faith without works is dead? It's not saying you have to work to get to heaven. But if you're saved, there'll be an evidence. If you are an apple tree, there's supposed to be apples. If you are a Christian, there should be some evidence. In verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son upon the altar? Now, that wasn't what saved Abraham. But about 20-some years after Abraham got saved, then he offered his son Isaac when he was told to do so. Verse 22, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works with faith made perfect? And the scripture is fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he is called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. You are supposed to have works if you're a Christian, but it is not works that save. And then it says in verse 25, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way. For as the body without spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. You can say you're a believer, you can say you're one of his children, but if you're disobedient and you ignore his will and his word, it's hard to believe. Only God, I guess, can say for sure. Now, to go back to what we were saying earlier in 2 Peter chapter 3, when someone asked about God sending or allowing people to go to hell. People go to hell if they're not saved and they haven't received the gospel. But understand this about God. If everyone questions God's heart, it says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want anybody to talk disrespectful and say, I will not. On the other hand, he wants them to repent. He also doesn't want someone to pretend to be something they're not. But here's what I can tell you for sure. He doesn't want them to go to hell. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so if someone says, well, I've learned how to walk the walk and talk the talk. Yesterday I was at a youth conference with a lot of other kids and our kids. And I was thinking about how that I've been in churches and I've sung so many songs. It's so easy to just look the part. If you're a pastor's kid and you grew up in the pastor's home, it's so easy to just look look a part and to play a part. It is. You just learn how to do this or do that or say this or say that. And my wife and I were always concerned about our children. Are they truly saved, or do they just know how to act the act and talk the talk? And dot their I's and cross their T's the right way and do all that. Are you truly a born-again believer? Jesus was talking to one of these Pharisees who got saved. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus came to him by night. And I imagine Nicodemus was a respected man, a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews. And what did Jesus tell Nicodemus? You must be born again. Their entire pride was based on the fact of who they were. There are the lost tribes of Israel that assimilated into Assyria, and they're just all scattered and become Gentiles. But we Jews, we've kept our lineage intact, and we do all these rules, and we bathe all the time, and we make sure we wash our hands just right, and we never do anything on the Sabbath, and we have all this perfectly done. And Jesus looked at this Pharisee and said, you need a new birth. What you're so proud of is not going to get you to heaven. You cannot see the kingdom of God unless you are born again. But I'm not a harlot or a publican, right? But if a harlot or a publican gets saved and finds salvation, they who used to say, I will not, I'm not interested in church and religion and religious rule, I'm not interested in all that stuff, I will not, you'll never see me, I ain't ever going to, and they have a change of heart. And that's what I love about my friend Tom Urich. I ain't doing that. Every time Tom said, I ain't doing that, I thought, he will. Almost every time, I ain't doing that, he will. One year we got him to help act for the missionary store at Vacation Bible School. I'm not doing it. He did. The Lord would rather have harlots and publicans that have a change of heart. And all the nays, well, I know what she used to be, and I know what he used to be. It doesn't matter. They changed. They repented and went. It says in John chapter 1, verse 12, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. As many as received him. We should look at every human being, harlots and publicans and even Democrats. We should look at every human being and say, you know what? They can get saved. There's hope. Just because they don't sound like it right now doesn't mean they can't repent and turn to Christ. How do you get saved? By being adopted in God's family. Romans chapter number 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Not those who were born into Abraham's lineage, but those who are born again from above. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Are you a son or just a talker? Back there in Matthew 15, these people honoreth me with their mouth. They draw nigh to me with the lips, but their heart is far from me. I don't appreciate people telling me it was a great sermon as much as I appreciate people doing something with what they've learned. There was one individual that would say that to me all the time. Oh, that was the best sermon. One Sunday we had a guest speaker, and so I didn't preach. And afterwards, the same person said, that was a wonderful sermon you gave. I didn't even preach. got yourself into a bad habit. It's not so much what we say, it's what we do that proves what we are. Are you a son or a talker? They both thought of themselves as sons. But Jesus said, only one of you is going into the kingdom of heaven. The ones who repented and went. And at the same time, I was talking to some people this afternoon who came for the meeting that we had. And I enjoy rednecks, you know? I enjoy people who are not polished, you know, or whatever it might be. And I think to myself, wow, what if this person gets saved? What a neat story. What another change that can happen. And I don't mind talking to people who are more polished, but it just seems like those people, they have this facade, and they don't want to get real. Are you a son or a talker? It's a short message tonight, but it's just a reminder how God thinks. Heaven's going to be full of a bunch of people that shouldn't be there, but they repented. And they're the doers. And it's cool because if people in the community say, wait a minute, they used to be the town drunk. Emphasis on used to be. Remember what we read this morning? And such were some of you. That's the beauty of it, because then God gets the glory. You mean God would adopt them? Yes, exactly. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for opportunity tonight to just be reminded of this simple parable that illustrates something that is so practically in front of us today. And help us as believers not to become pharisaical in the way we talk versus what we actually do. Help us to be slow to speak and more mindful that really our actions and what we do speaks louder than what we say. And help us to be also mindful that just because someone out there is very belligerent and rebellious, that doesn't mean they can't change and be another trophy of your grace. Thank you, God, that you think differently than we do. And you're not impressed with outward as much as we are. Help us to see people the way you do and to be thankful that you would love us and to take us in no matter what we've done. In Jesus' name, amen.